Today's daf in Masechet Chulin is daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we just got finished the Psak of Rava, who answered Rav Mori Bar Rochel that he's not allowed to be semich on the fact that Basar is being pilate dam, and therefore will not absorb Tzir, because Tzir is a special limut, and the Tzir of the Basar, which is Tameh, we're marbe from Elo HaTmeim Lachem, and Tzir is easily absorbed, despite the fact that Dam is being niflat, Tzir will still be absorbed. That was the Chiddush of Rava yesterday. Today on the fourth line, we're going to ask that there's a problem with Rava's Psak, what appears to be a problem. Beitvei, Dak Tahor Shemalacho Im Dak Tameh Mutar. First of all, just a number of issues. Even though we were marbe Tzir, as Tosfos pointed out, HaTmeim Lachem is only on those things that are called Tameh. Dog is not called Tameh, and therefore HaTmeim Lachem is not really an Isser Tzir on dog at all, because it's only a Drabona. Nonetheless, even though that we're about to ask from the Din of Bliat Tzir of dog to the Din of Bliat Tzir from Basar, Tosfos says it's still a fair comparison, because, I mean, in reality, the material of the Tzir is the equivalent, and if we can bring a raya from a case where there's a rabbanan problem, we should be able to apply the same halacha to the case of the Dioraita of Rava. I also want to mention, by the way, that the whole question that we had yesterday about the dag being bolea, the dam of the ov, where we said that it has a very thin membrane, there are many who are mechale between a dag whose scales have been removed, where over there you're left with a thin membrane, and a dog where the scales have not been removed, where over there it's treated still as skin. So here we would have to adjust accordingly for the shitot. In any event, if you have a dog tahor that was put together in the same salting dish as a dog tameh, it's mut. Now, according to Rava, we say that tzir is easily absorbed despite the fact that something is in a state of plita. Now, why would it be mut? Now, we're assuming, my love, we're assuming that both were meluchim. If both are meluchim, then basically we have exactly the same setup that we had yesterday with Rav Mori Bar Rochel, who had two pieces of meat that were meluchim, one of which was treifa, one of which was kosher. Here we have two pieces of fish that are meluchim, one of which is treif, because it's from a min tameh, and one of which isn't. It should be the same halacha. And yet over here it says that despite the fact that they're both salted, the din is that it's a mut. Says the Gemara, we're going to have to learn that the case over here, where a matir, according to Rava, would be talking about that the tahor was salted, and therefore it's the tzir tahor that is being constantly exuded here. But the tamei is actually tafel. The tamei is unsalted. By the way, it's a remarkable thing that I pointed out on numerous occasions, that in English, a sexy joke is called salty. Salty, right? Salty humor. Yeah. Or spicy, salty. In Hebrew, a sexy joke is called tiflut, tafel, which means without any taste. It's tasteless.
Yeah,
isn't that remarkable? Yeah. And over here, tafel versus maliach is exactly the point.
We use tasteless as humor is
right.
Inappropriate.
Right, but particularly inappropriate sex is called tiflut.
Yeah,
that's the in Hebrew. Yeah. So that's just a remarkable insight into the whole language space. In any event, so the tamei itself was tafel, therefore the tamei was not exuding, and so mamela, there's not really a problem over here. This leads to a question about whether these pieces of fish were actually in touch with each other, or they're just in the same container. This is a machlokas we've shown him. If you learn that they're in touch with each other, why doesn't the malicha of the one piece actually affect the other piece? I know those who learn that we're not in touch with each other. Okay, this question really applies to the previous case also, whether the absorption of the tzir is through being next to it, or Dafka, where the case where both of them were salted, Dafka, where they were touching. Again, various side issues that in terms of a psak halach lemaisa would need to be dealt. But anyway, if we're tiding that iktame is tafel, then how do you understand the seifa? Vamid iktani, seifa. Since in the seifa it says specifically, hayat tahor maliach v'tame tafel mutar, then the implications are that the reisha was talking about where both of them were malu, right? Because we talk about the case where the tameh was tafel. So how can you learn that the first case is the same as the second case? Must be that even in the first case where both are meluchim, it would be mutter, and that shows that we do not say that tzir is easily absorbed when a piece is in a state of plita. No, not necessarily. Maybe there's only one case over here, and this what you call the second case is a pirush. Perushe Komafarish. It's coming to explain the Reisha. So we start off by saying, in a case where you took a dog tahor, that you were molcho im dog tameh, it's mutar. Now put in the word ketzad. When do I say it's mutar? By the way, I mean, that's not a put-off. That's so reasonable. Because, okay, I mean, if you're going to tell me otherwise, then the whole structure is crazy. Because Isak, that the Reisha Shnei Malu, if you're willing to say that the Reisha was talking about a case where both were Maluach, and even so, where both are Maluach, it's still kosher, because there's no problem of Tzir. Does that make sense? Hashta Shnei Emeluchim Shori. If in a case where both are salted, it's butter, is it necessary to add a case where the tahor is maliach and the tamei tafel? Me boy? I mean, it's just an extra case for no reason. So it makes far more sense to say that we're looking at a pirush of the first case. No, says the Gemara, that doesn't persuade me 100% that it's got to be that way, because, hello, Ayer, that's not much of a riot. You could say, there's always an option, wherever we have a thing like this, that the second case seems to be unnecessary. There's always two possibilities. It's the pirish of the first case, and it's all one case. Or it adds an unnecessary case to make it absolutely clear that that is not the meaning of the first case, so that you should be willing to carry the first case all the way, even in this case, even with Shnei Meluchim. So you could say that Tanasefa Leguluye Reisha, which is always the alternative, then maybe it said the second case to make it clear that in the Reisha I meant even if Shnei Malu. Because if I hadn't said the second case, you might have tried to explain away the first case. The Lotema Reisha Tahor Imaliyah and the Tamei Tafel. But Enochinami if Shnei Maluchim would be usher like Rava, comes along the Sefer to say that case, Star Maliyah with Tamei Tafel, to tell me that in the Reisha even were Shnei Meluchim, that nonetheless Afilu Achishari, then that would be, of course, not like Rava. So we don't have any problems for Rava, but we certainly can't prove 100% from the very structure of the Braita that it's going like Rava. Let's see if we can bring a Raya from the Baal Toshma, Misefa the Seif, the very last piece of the same Braita. Avolim Hayat HaMei Maliyah V'Tahar Tavel, if the Tzir Tamei was coming out because the Tamei was Maliyah, then it would be Aser. Now, what does that say to you? That only where the Tamei is Maliyah and the Tahar Tavel, then we would say it's Aser, because in that case the Tahar is not in a state of Plita, because it itself is not Maluah. So it's being exposed to all of this Tzir that's coming out of the Tamei, therefore it absorbs it, because it itself is being unaffected by its own Maliyah. But in a case where the Tahor was also Malua, then we would not have said that it's Tahor, because otherwise what do you need this case for? So that would disprove Rava, because Rava was saying that where a piece is being pelate, it's only impervious to the Bliya of Dam. But Seer, which is easy to absorb, that's unaffected by Plita. So and here it's saying that if Shnei Emar Meluchim, it would be Mutter. Why? Because it continues to be pelate.
At the same time that it's Pelate, it's also Pelate.
No, that it's only Poleit and not Polea, therefore it's Mutter. That's the implication of the last case.
With regard to Tzir?
Yeah, that's the only thing we're talking about here. Yeah. We're talking about pieces of fish. Yeah. And Rava said that even where it's being Poleit, it still is going to absorb Tzir. So then this would be a problem for Rava. Says the Gemara, again, not necessarily. Because it could be that we're simply trying to keep things parallel. I did a ton of Reisha, Tahar Maliach V'Tamei Tafel. But that was not meant to imply that if both of them would have been meluchim, that it would have been kosher. In fact, even Shnei meluchim would be not kosher. Omer Shmuel, in one of the most important and shortest dinim in the Gemara that turns into major, major biskei halachas when it comes to melichat basar. Omer Shmuel, ena basar yotze midei damo, ela im ken molcho yafe yafe, umadicho yafe yafe. So the meat is not going to get rid of dam that will come out during bishul. We're not talking about tzli, and we're not talking about eating it raw. We're talking about cooking it. You cannot assume that you got rid of the blood in the meat to allow you to subsequently cook it in water, unless it was salted very well. But obviously the word very well is not just a very vague and amorphous word. We're going to have to analyze what yafe yafe means. And the same thing is true, medicho yafe yafe. You also have to wash it very well. But again, yafe, would have to have specific implications. So the specific implications of bocho yafe yafe lahalacha are that you need to make certain that both sides, actually all areas that are open to the meat, have melach on it, so that you can apply the word yafe to both sides of the piece. Yafe, yafe. When it comes to medichu yafe, yafe, the assumption is that you would have to do a double hadacha. One of them would be to wash off any loose blood and salt, and the other one is to soak it a bit to get rid of anything that was near the surface and that will now end up coming out in the water. Rav Huna put it, moleach u'mediach, whereas in the Braita put it, mediach u'moleach u'mediach. Now the Braita is adding a hadacha prior to the initial malicha. And lo pligi, they're not really arguing. Ha'dechalalei beitavcha, one where you talk about only mocho mediach, where there he's coming specifically to address the question of whether it required a prior soaking. He wasn't coming to talk about only mocho, not yofa yofa, only medicho, not yofa yofa. Wasn't arguing. It was in context of this bride. So one is talking about where we say, where Rav Huna says, you only need to be moleach. It's talking about where it came from the butcher, and the butcher was already mechalalei. Now mechalalei does not mean mediach. It means a quick wash-off. Mediach means a good wash-off. So why is mechalalei proper without hadocha? But if you get it after the butcher shop, then you need to do hadocha. That itself is very strange. And so the Mefarshim explained that hadocha in the butcher shop is done immediately after the shechita. And there, where the dam is still warm, it doesn't take much water to get things off. After, by the time you get it to the house, and the blood is cooled, at that point you need a good hadar to get rid of any dried blood that is not going to come out with the malicha subsequently. This becomes a whole shaila if someone in fact does malicha without having done an initial malicha, hadar. According to those shitas that hold that dam that has cooled, perhaps hardened, and isn't yotze with the malicha, then it's mavliya that dam back into the basar. And according to some shitas, this too is a machlokas rishonim, a second malicha doesn't help a dam that was muvla, that had already been poresh from the basar. It only helps to get rid of the dam ha'ivorim. But once you already absorb dam of iser, we're not semech on a malicha to take out dam that had been poresh. Okay, this is lemaisa. Again, these are the types of shilas that come up where you need to analyze what the circumstances are exactly, and whether it's hafsid maruba. There's plenty of different shitas about these issues, and I'm just again raising it so that you should be sensitive to the different meanings of hadocha over here. There are others who learn that the chashash for hadocha is not that dam would actually be hardened. According to them, the whole issue wouldn't begin about dam that was Irish. And the only reason that we do the initial hadocha is to soften the meat, in which case, according to them, the meaning of the hadocha yavi yavi would be to let it sit. So let it soak first before the malicha, and then that softens the meat so that the malicha is more effective to be able to draw out the blood. And that's
water.
What we do. Yeah, with the soak in water first, before doing the malicha. Soak about an hour, and then you start the malicha. But chalalei beitavcha, actually, because the meat is still warm, the blood is warm, that acts instantly without a long soak. Rav Dimi Minarda, molachle b'milcha galalnita. He used to use a thicker salt, what we call kosher salt, umenapitzle, and then he would smack the salt off. So if you use a thin salt, you cannot be menapes because it sticks. According to the Rambam, it's even worse than that. Not only does it stick, it actually becomes reabsorbed. And according to the Rambam, although we don't paskin like that, according to the Rambam, if you use the thin salt, then you would aser the meat because it takes out, but then it melts into the meat. And blood that's been mixed with salt is easily absorbed afterwards. So it doesn't hold, it itself melts instead of remaining salt. However, what we paskin is that if you use what we call the kosher salt, and then you're menapets, then the niputz itself, that's what Rav Dimi Minardo was saying over here, that if you're menapets, like, that counts for the first hadocha of the hadocha yavi yavi. Because everything comes off if you use thick salt. Omrev Misharshia, ein machzikim dam bivnei me'ai. if you didn't salt, now remember that the B'nai Me'ayim is a very general term, which can be used for all the internal organ, the B'nai Me'ayim, which would include the liver and the lungs and the heart, and all those things are called B'nai Me'ayim in the loosest sense. In the strictest sense, it means Davka Me'ayim, which is a digestive system. Therefore, the Gemara has to clarify when we say, you don't have to worry about blood in the B'nai Me'ayim. Tirgama, what this is a reference to, is the digestive system. So what we mean is the karkasha, the me'aya, the hadr, the kanta. So we're talking about the end of the short intestines, the long intestines, and even, now this is a machlok as we showed it, even the stomachs. Others learned that that's not true, that the keres, actually you do have to be kreshish for now. Again, halacha l'maisa, we assume that this is only b'diavad, we say en kreshish. En kreshish meaning unless there was some sign of redness in the intestine. But that lichatchila, you are meant to do melicha on the intestine. If l'maisa ended up making kishka without doing melicha, if you don't see any reddened area, then you know it's a b'kreshish. But it doesn't mean lichatchila that you do it without melicha. Doesn't need melicha because there's no, it's like, yeah, if you take a look at it, these organs, they're white. I mean, there's blood, but they're capillaries. They're extremely, extremely, that's the whole point of the intestines. The capillaries have to be exposed in order to be able to absorb the tiny, very, very thin membranes that you can't even see. That's how you get the nutrition, obviously, into the bloodstream. Omashwa, in menichim basar malich, after you do the malicha, you don't put the meat down unless you've got a kli minukav. It's got to be a perforated kli that allows any blood that comes out to drip out, because otherwise it's sitting in its own blood and will end up reabsorbing it. Rif Sheshes, apparently because of this chashash, molach le garma garma. He would do melicha piece by piece in order to avoid another piece being affected by blood that was coming out from one piece. Ask the Gemara, that's crazy. Why wouldn't he use two pieces? Straight by time alone. Mishub de parsh me'ayu bala hai, but he's worried that some blood will come out of one piece at an earlier stage, and then it'll still, this piece will be in a state of absorption, like we spoke about yesterday. I mean, if you're worried about that, that could happen in a single piece of meat. Maybe the blood is coming out quicker in one area, there was more salt, and in a different area it's coming out slower. So maybe it's partially high gisa, ubola high gisa. I mean, obviously there's no end to this kind of hashat. Eloshno, we don't really take into consideration these kind of differences. Omar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Hashover Mafrakta Shel Behima, Kodem Shetetzei Nafsha, Areze Machbidet Abasar. If you break the neck of an animal after Shechita, before the animal has died, remember that after Shechita, we consider the animal to be alive. It's just that it's no longer Eivrim and Achai. It was the whole issue that we spoke about the Ben Noyach that was concerned with needing to buy meat in a kosher supermarket, because otherwise you have to be Cheshish for Eivrim and Achai. So the period after Shechita, during which the Dama Nefesh is Yotzei, is what removes 90% of the dam from the body. If lamaisa, you prevent the heart from beating by breaking the spinal cord immediately after shechita, then you break all of those reactions, which are just part. You'll stop the heart. If you do that, then the blood is not ever going to get out through the natural processes of pumping. Then what you're doing is you're going to be machbid et abasar. You're weighing down the meat, which is now filled with dam that otherwise would have been ejected. V'gozel et abriot, you're stealing because you're selling this meat to the same price as regular meat, and it's got, let's say, a 10% higher liquid content. And mavli adam be'evarim, where you're also causing blood to be absorbed in the organs. Now, is this a third issue? Iboilo. Hejikama, is what you're saying is the whole problem is only in what you're doing to other people. It's nothing to do with your own meat. In other words, your machbidat abasar, gozelat abriot, and this is the reason, because your mavliya dam be'evarim, holiday shopper dummy, but for your own use. I mean, you can do what you want. Odilma, or is this a problem? Your mavliya dam be'evarim, and therefore you won't be able to get it out with malicha. And therefore, lididei nami yasser, maybe it'll be yasser for you too. Teku. Now, according to this, if we're left with the tegu, then we would have to be masmir, not to eat the bus. But that's not how we pask. First of all, the girsa of the rif is lu'umtza, that it's osir for yourself to eat raw. Not that it's osir, meaning that it won't be yotzeh with malich. That was never havamina. So, b'malich or b'tzliya, it would be yotzeh. The way Rashi has it could be that many understand Rashi to mean that it really would be osir, wouldn't be yotzeh even ayadei tzliya. But in any event, we don't pask in that way. Because actually, there was a shayla that was brought to Rav Meisha in a place where the minig was that about 3 minutes after shchita, they would actually break the mafreket. And they asked him whether 3 minutes after shchita, they would break the spinal column, the back of the neck. And he said 3 minutes is way after this year. But there's definitely no chashash. Yeah, and he says that anyway, this whole thing is a chumrah. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like you have to be so marked on this thing. So he was marked there 3 minutes afterwards. Oh. Our president, before we continue actually with the mission, let me just review, now that you have had a chance to think about it, I hope. And I like to go back a day later after you do chazorah to go over some of the implications of the previous Gemara. So what we talked about yesterday was where you cut a radish, but we didn't talk about a case where you chopped a radish. What would be the implications where you chopped a radish? Yeah, and there the question is, do we assume that the first chop is all that you have to worry about? And therefore, if you take a look at mixing it afterwards in your chisogel or whatever, so you would only have to worry about whether you would have shishim keneged the area of the klipa lemaisa we pask in the tila, not klipa, and it has to be it's a pretty big piece. But maybe if you chop it not, unfortunately, that's not the thing. The thing is that if you chop it, then the entire thing is considered to be filled with whatever, with flesh and ivory. So in other words, the tznon or other things which are chorif are considered to, in conjunction with the pressure of the sakin. So the two together of harifut and the dochak, the pressure of the sakin, means that every single piece is osur, because every single piece would have required netila, which is bigger than the piece. And therefore it's all considered to be fleshes. And therefore you'd be analyzing a shishim keneged the tznayin. So yeah, we do have problems like that. This happens very often with onions. You know, people will use a knife, a wrong knife. Instead of keeping a part of a knife, they'll use a fleshka knife or a milk knife for chopping onions, and then they'll put it into their food. And if you order onions as a davar chorif, and you got problems. No, listen, you don't get the shaylas. I do. So this happens very often. Doesn't matter if it's a davar chorif. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Although it's always good to keep turnips in the house. The Gemara says turnips are unique. A turnip will remove the taste, but only for one chop. You got to chop the turnip between chops.
that was an issue yesterday.
Yeah, that's it. The turnip is considered to be a tam miyuchad. It's neither matok nor chorif, and therefore it's not like the kishus, and it's not like the tznan. And it's mevatel the tam of the harifus.
What do you call a turnip in Hebrew?
Lefet.
In Canada, they're called rutabagas.
What? Turnips are called rutabagas? Because there's another vegetable called a rutabaga. Yes. I left Canada already. It's telling you. No wonder. I never would have gotten away with it when I was there.
In the grocery section, it said.
Because there is a rutabaga, but it's not a turnip. It's a different vegetable. I'll have to speak to my academy buddies, and we'll see. Okay, now we are ready for our dear president.
Dr. Haile Commissioner. I just came from Sabotage. Haile Commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Is that good enough?
Dr. Haile Commissioner.
Hamale eta ofi magvina ala shukhan. This is a very strange Mishnah. Going back now to what we started with. And you should know that if you went ahead and you actually did put some chicken together with your cheese on the table, you're not over on anything. I mean, this seems to be the most ridiculous. Obviously, you're not over on anything. What?
You didn't eat it?
Yeah, I mean, what, you know, the whole thing was even, we said before, maybe even it's Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. I mean, it's crazy. What could possibly be the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell me that, oh, if you just put it there, ain't no Iver. But, Mashmah, if you would eat it, that then you would be Iver, in which case it was Shaloika Rabbi Akiva. Maybe that's the point, because according to Rabbi Akiva, and if you ate it together, you wouldn't be Iver, and therefore the Mishnah would appear to be very silly, unless it's Gufa coming to tell me the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. Asks the Gemara. So, are we to conclude that the implications of the Mishnah are what's important? Namely, ha'ochlo, if you did eat it, instead of just putting it there, you would be over on a lotasa? In which case, we'd have to conclude that shmamina basar ov bechalav is dioraita? Well, no. See, we love to play with your mind in a Mishnah. The Mishnah might mean, hamal et ha'ofim ha'gvina la'shulchan, you don't have to worry, because ain't no bali de lotasa. There's nothing that you could do that would ever bring you to a lotasa, in which case it was coming to Tami Dafka, yes, like Rabbi Akiva, and would be an introduction to the coming Mishnah, where we're coming to discuss the various types of basar that are included in the din of basar b'cholam. So therefore, we begin by saying, look, you know, even though we told you not to put the chicken on the table, nothing you could do that would really make much of an impact there. What we get into the issues is now... is now basar behemat tohora bechalav bechilev behemat tohora. If you have kosher meat and you have kosher milk, that is what's asur. Asur levashel, you're not allowed to cook that. Asur bahana'a, and you're not only prohibited from eating it, you can't even sell it and get hana from the value. Now remember, we're going to be getting into this over the next few days. Remember that the Torah mentions lo tavashel gedi b'chalev imo three separate occasions. For some reason, lo tavashel gedi b'chalev imo is part of the essential brit. Every time that we review, whether it's the Sefer HaBrit in terms of Mishpatim, whether it's the repetition of that Sefer HaBrit after the Maisa Egel, we have to reconstruct once again all of the dinim after Kitisa, we repeat it again. Whenever we get together to redo the essential Mishpatim, it includes Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, and it's always thrown in as a weird non sequitur, which we're talking about something else entirely, and all of a sudden, oh, and yes, don't forget Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. So we need to actually examine those occurrences and see the implications of where the pasuk occurs. But one of the simplest ways, let's assume this at this point, even though we're going to see many alternatives, let us assume the simplest approach, which later on we're going to see is one of the shitas, that the Lo Tavashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo is repeated three times, one to tell us the simple meaning of bishul, you're not allowed to cook, one to tell us that if it were cooked, then you're not allowed to eat it, and one to tell us that if it were cooked, you're not even allowed to get hanoah from it. That's a simple reading. So therefore, the simple understanding of a gedi, which is a kosher animal, in the chalav of its aim, which is a kosher animal, you can't mix those two things. So that's a given, and therefore it would be asur b'achila, it would be asur b'bishul, it would be asur b'hana'ah. But basar behemat Torah bechalav behemat tmeah, or basar behemat tmeah bechalav behemat Torah, is actually mutar levashel, or mutar bahana'ah. Over there, the Torah was not talking about the Isser. We can't tell you that you're allowed to eat it, because obviously it's not kosher meat. It's not kosher meat, but it's not asur mishum basar bechalav. So that means, remarkably, you'll do better if you're into a cheeseburger by going to McDonald's. At least there it's not kosher.
The meat is not kosher.
Right.
Actually, they kind of hear that it is.
That just is in order to make it worse.
Yeah.
Reb Daniel. Any chol v'kish v'karak lo sif mayim chamim.
This was their argument when they first opened up and started serving cheese.
Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, well, it's not only a question of non-kosher animals, even kosher animals, but they're not behemot, they're chayot. So let's say you have a nice venison steak. That is also not osur min haTorah to cook in milk. So chaya, and chicken, is eina min haTorah. Shenemar lo tavashel gedi b'chalev imo shalosh famim. We have three separate descriptions of lo tavashel gedi b'chalev imo. So the first one comes together with bikurim, for some crazy reason. Reshit bikurei admatacha. That's the That's the opening in Mishpatim. Then we have, once again, the same that when we reconstruct after the Maisa Egel and Kitisa. So there we have Reshit Bikurei Adbatchat Avibet Hashem Elokecha Lo Tvash Agadi Bakalevi Mo. Repeat of the same pasuk. And then we have another, which is going to be very important later, an Isser of Nevela. Dafke, the pasuk of Nevela and Trefa that talks about giving it to a goy. So lo tochlu kol Nevela, la gera shebisharecha, titnena vochlo mocholu nochri, ki am kadosh shatala shebelokecha, lo tevashir gdi bechalevimo. So, question over here is, what is the purpose of those three times? I say, says Rabbi Akiva, why do we stress gdi bechalevimo three times? So, one is prat l'chaya, prat la'of, and prat l'beima tamea. So, a gedi means a gedi, which is a domesticated animal, not a chaya. A gedi, which is a mammal. We'll see later on, there's another reason to be mamayet off, because it doesn't have a mother. It doesn't have any chalev aim, obviously, but we'll talk about that later. And not a beima tamea, which is dissimilar to a gedi. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, well, if you take a look at that third occurrence of Lo Tochlu Kol Nevela, which is then unaccountably concludes with the words Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, it's got to be telling you that the two are compared. That's a hekesh. It's the same pasuk. So therefore it's teaching me Lo Tochlu Kol Nevela, which then concludes with the words Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, after going through the whole description of giving it away to the ger, selling it to the goy, and then for some reason it says Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, to teach you that only those things that have an Isser Nevela. So Etsha Asur Bishum Nevela, Asur Levashel B'Chalev. Now I ask you, Rabbi Akiva, is a Chaya Asur Bishum Nevela? Absolutely. So what are you talking about? Is an oaf asr b'shum nevela? Yes, but nonetheless, there's another issue. Oaf shasr b'shum nevela. You might think that by my standards, an oaf should be included to be asr to cook in milk. Ah, but it says chalev imo, doesn't it? Did you ever see a bird with a mother nursing it? Uh-huh. Therefore, b'chalev imo is yotze oaf she'en lo chalev imo. That's goof of the point. Chaya would be included. That's exactly my point. I disagree with Rabbi Akiva. What else is the connection to Nevela, if not to tell me that the Chaya is also? Bishul, Ana, Achila, the works.
The big three.
That means something very different to a South African. You have to be very careful. We have to give this guy an education, dear President. He's talking about the big three. I mean, it's for hunters or for photographers. Minani mili. It's the no. It's the big animals. The big animals. The large animal. The big four. Minani mili. How do we know that a gedi doesn't just mean a gedi? How do we know that we should include every animal? Because Amar Reb Elazar, you'll notice that when the Torah discusses a gedi, it never calls it a gedi. It always refers to the species of which it's a gedi. So it says, Vayishlach Yehuda et gedi ha'izim. Why does that say gedi ha'izim? Because, I mean, I thought that a gedi means gedi izim. Isn't a gedi a kid? So why would I need to define it as gedi izim? That's to tell you that the word gedi is a very loose word, the same way that kid is a very loose word in English. You know, so we use it for people. In other words, it means the young of the species, but it could mean the young of any species. So if I tell you gedi izim, fine. But if it says gedi without supplying the name of the species, then it means any young. So it means afilu parav rachel b'mashma. It could mean a young sheep, it could mean a young cow, an egel. And it's talking about the young, because it's talking about the suckling of the chalav of the aim.
So it's just that one word.
That one word itself means the kid of any of the animals. Wait a minute, why do you say that? Why don't we use gedi izim as the makor for defining gedi? Right? You're saying if the Torah one place specifies, that's what we say. If the Torah doesn't specify, and then in one place it says temru pishtim, and then normally it says just linkalayim, let's say. So then that teaches us that wherever it says beged, it would mean temru pishtim. The same thing should be true over here. Why not say that the Torah specifies in one location in order to clarify the meaning of the gedi that it's using in another location? In which case, on the contrary, we should bring a raya from Yehuda that only a gedi izim is prohibited in milk. V'leilif minei. Ah! because we have another one. We have the Orot Gidiyei Ha'izim by Yaakov and Esav, where Rivka put on Orot Gidiyei Ha'izim. Why would the Torah have to tell us in two places that a Stam Gidi is a Gidiyei Ha'izim? So it's on the contrary. It's telling us in two places because these are two unique places. If it hadn't said Ha'izim, then it would have meant just young skin. So therefore, it comes to tell me, Kan Gidiyei Ha'izim. So you'll say, why can't you learn that from here? Because obviously it's Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad. Because then why do we have two examples of it? So these are two exclusions to the rule, and therefore the normal Gedi is any kid. And what about according to Mandi Omer, who says even two examples can be used lemelav? So why wouldn't we use this as a makor? So heinicha lemandi Omer ein melamdim. What would you do according to Mandi Omer as melamdim? Ma'ika lemeimar. Well, in each one of these cases, there's a miut to tell me not to use it as the makor. Tre miut ektive. In each case, it says ha'izim. It could have just said gidi izim. So if it says ha'izim, it's to tell me the, meaning this is a unique case. But in other cases, do not assume the presence of izim. And therefore, gedi means any young. Omar Shmuel, the word gedi occurs three times. And we need to learn from it. Problem is, of course, Shmuel is about to engage in a bit of hyperbole because he learned six things out of three gedis, which I was going to ask. But anyway, it does say a lot of gedis out there, okay? So, gedi. Very good. Gedi is marveh. The chelev. So even the chelev is included, because if you were just talking about meat, man, what does that have to do with gedi? The chelev is not a gedi. So this comes to tell me that fats, although they're not basar, are called basar for this din of not cooking in cholav. Gedi is rabot et hameita. So if you cook, let's say, nevela with cholav, that the din would be, you'd be over on basar v'cholav, even though there was already an iser of nevela, and you would think ein iser chalal iser. This adds the meta. Now we'll see whether this is coming to add the ein iser chalal iser, or this is coming to include a basar, which is basar nevela that people don't usually eat in basar. And gedi is also marba, that which is not itself fully achieved basar. It's a shlil, it's still an embryo. Nonetheless, it has a din of basar, legabi this din of basar b'chalav. Furthermore, gedi means a gedi, but that excludes blood. I mean, blood is not to be confused with gedi. Gedi, lotziat ha-shilya. And another one comes to exclude the placenta. And gedi comes also to exclude a behema tmea. Then when it says b'chalev imo three times, it's coming to exclude the chalav of a zachar. So milk that a male produces is not considered to be milk. B'chalav imo is not b'chalav shchuta. In other words, it needs to be milk that was suckled, not milk that is found inside of the udder. And b'chalev imo, it has to be the same species as it, obviously. So if it's its mother, if the gedi excluded the tmeah, then the chalav has to also be from an animal that excludes tmeah. Shmuel, it only says gedi three times, and you just made six drushes on three gedis, and you ain't fooling nobody. Atlata gedi k'tive vanan shita darshina. How did that happen? Well, the truth is that Shmuel holds Isser is Chalal Isser. Therefore, Chelev and Meta does not need a ribui. It's included in the Ikur Pasuk. I mean, why not? Because what are you going to say? Since there was already an Isser, that's not a problem. Isser Chalal Isser. So that's the initial Pasuk, the Legufe Pasuk that comes to tell me that law. Dam, I mean, I don't need a pasuk to exclude dam. Dam is not a gedi. I don't need an extra gedi to tell me, and not dam. It's just not a gedi. A placenta is not meat. It's just a pure shabiyama. It's unusable. It's just disgusting. So it's like excrement. I mean, why would that be included in a piece of the animal? Okay, so actually, I really have only one gedi legufe, which implies all of these things. Now I'm left with two drashot. So one is marba shalil, and one is mabayit beima tmeya. So, okay, now all of this is based on the assumption that Shmuel holds in general that Isser is chalal Isser, but that isn't true. Actually, Shmuel would need an additional pasuk to be marba Isser chalal Isser, because ha'omer Shmuel mishum Rabbi Elazar, Shmuel said on an alternative situation where you have an Issachal al Issar problem, where a Kohen becomes Tomei B'tumat HaGuf, and he's coming to eat Truma, which is Tomei. So the Issar of Truma, which is Tomei, is only in Issar HaSein. That's the Mishmer Truma Tai and so on. But the Issar of Achilas Truma B'tumat HaGuf is an Issar Chomer. Comes along now Shmuel Mishum Reb Elazar to tell me that there is no Chiev of the Issar Chomer, which is a chiyav misa b'dei shamayim, who made tubo ki yichalalu, that's not chal on a kohen tamei who eats trumat tamei, which was tamei before. He's eino b'mita. Shenemar umeitu tubo ki yichalalu hu, prat lezo shebechulalat v'omedet. Something which was already mechulal before this kohen was tamei is not included in the din of umeitu tubo ki yichalalu hu. So apparently, Shmuel does not hold this chalal iser. Well, it could be that this is a special miyut. I could tell you that normally he does all this unless you're told otherwise. This is a special halacha. Prat lezu, which is mechulalet, is not specifically a din in any sechal al iser. It's a din in chilul. So if something is mechulal, it's not shaykh to say yichalalu. So this is a special case. Maybe b'al meisechal al iser, but over here, the Torah is being mamayat umeitu bo, only where you're going to be mechalalo. Or maybe, not because it's a special case, maybe actually Shmuel would normally hold Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, but he's coming to tell me that Shinei Hacha, the Rabbi Rachmana, maybe it's specifically over here, Giddi, that is Gufa coming to tell us that the Torah is Marba. Now Rashi says this is very difficult, because the way we understood the Sugya before is that Shmuel was not using the Giddi to be Marba. He was saying that that's included without the Riboy. How are we going back now? What are we going to do with these other Gedis? Now we're not going to be left with the two Gedis that we said before. The whole way, this was the way Rashi explained the Sugya. The whole way I, Rashi, explained to you the Sugya before, I don't understand this. So he actually, Tosis brings that, he brings an entirely different Girsa in the Sugya, which, again, I think it's Kedai for us, we'll discuss it tomorrow in the brief review before we begin to give you a chance to review it. So it could be this is a unique case because of an extra Gindi. And it could be that the point over here is not that I use one of the two remaining Gindis, but one simple way of understanding it is that the main Gindi is an extra Gindi. Because if all I want to talk about is Basar, I don't even have to say the word Gindi. I could just say Lo Savashel Bachalevimo, and I understand what that means. Or Lo Savashel Basar Bachalevimo, but even without any word at all, it would make perfectly good sense. Don't cook something, anything, in its mother's milk. I mean, the only thing you can cook in its mother's milk is a mammal. What else are you going to cook in its mother's milk? His milk? Turnips? Birds? Rutabagas. Ah, I forgot about rutabagas. That's a weird thing, those rutabagas. Yeah, that's a nanny word. We can start using them instead of chicky babies. They rutabagas. Or, you know what? It could be the whole question is not even a question in the first place. Where did Shmuel say anything? It said Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Never said Shmuel. So Shmuel what? Shmuel's not allowed to quote his Rebbe, even though he doesn't hold himself. Maybe himself holds that it's a halal iser. And indeed, the Kayin Tomei, who eats Petumas HaGuf, would be over. But he's quoting Rebbe Elazar. He himself holds not like that. Sibo Itema Hadidei. He himself holds Yisr Chalal Yisr. Ha, the Rabbe. Bamine Revachtavai Barami Mirav. Let me ask you something. Suppose you're Mavashel, a Gedi, in the Chalav of an animal Shalohinika. Mao. If this animal was never an aim, this particular animal never had a child. It was not an aim, and therefore its milk was just coming in. Maybe it was going to have an animal. You milked it. Okay, but it's not an aim. Is aim meant to be taken literally or not? Omar Le, well, Mirizrach L'shmuel L'meimar B'chalev Imo V'lo B'chalav Zachar. I mean, if we need a pussy to tell me that milk that is generated by a male is not included, then obviously it's only because a zachar will never be an aim that he's excluding it. But something that will be an aim, aval hai, kiman de balechlal aim, is asur. You guys remember when our dear friend, what's his name, the painter, you know, Moshe Berger, he told us over the story on the boat on the way from Europe that many of the men were nursing babies.
What?
Yeah, because he found out afterwards that in cases of extreme malnutrition, all these were camp survivors, so their bodies were totally screwed up. when you get a sudden nourishment, what happened after the war, all of a sudden a lot of people died. They ate normally, which killed them. But when they were suddenly given back nutrition, so estrogen and estrogen complexes come back much more quickly than testosterone. And because of that, they all were capable of generating milk, and there were babies on board that had lost their parents and so on. Then the pressure, the emotional pressure, needing to give these babies, they didn't have any milk or anything, needing to give these babies milk, actually caused these males to generate milk. Because they didn't have any of these suppressor hormones. There's a moral story by Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai nurse Esther. By Omenet Adasa, or cases in the Gemara, where a guy didn't have any.
Huh? Yeah,
that it's possible to actually. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it has other implications. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be literal. But, Moshe Aharon. They're both suckling. Figured. Sorry. No, it doesn't say that. Moshe says, "I suckled Yisrael like a mother suckles her young." So the two parts of the orin that stick out from the parochet are like breasts, because the Torah is viewed as suckling. Just saying that a metaphor that would have no physical implication is a ridiculous metaphor. To put breasts on males is stupid, unless they really do have breasts. You might have noticed and wondered, what's that for?
Vestigial organ.
No, it's not vestigial. Okay. By the way, your aura about Africa is not a good aura, because it's only where you get sudden nourishment. It's not where you have malnourishment. Why would there be males that would get some nourishment and not females? So guys on Tazala. Anyway, let's continue here. So because it's clear that Chalav Zachar, if you're talking about Chalav Zachar, then the point is that a Chalav does not have to be literally of a name. Otherwise, I don't need to be Mamayit Chalav Zachar. So I came in the Balich Lalaim. If this could be a mother, that's a fish. Now, I'm a Vashel Chela B'Chala. What would be the din? Rabami V'Rabasi. One says you're like, one says you're not like. Now, it's not clear. We're assuming that this means if you eat it. And the Shiloh would be, do you get Malkus also, not only for eating Chelev, but you get Malkus for eating Basar B'Chala? If that's the case, then we have a very simple understanding of the Machloket. They Mabaka Miflegate. Mandi Amaloka holds Isr Chalal Isr. Therefore, there's an Isr Basar B'Chala that's Chalal on Chelev. Mandi Amaloka Loka Kazavar Ein Isr Chalal Isr. That would be the simplest reading, says the Gemara. But it's a reading that isn't based on anything. Where does it say over here that we're talking about eating? It says if you cook. Maybe that's what it's talking about. So it could be the Kulei Alma, Ein Isr Chalal Isr. In which case, there's certainly no Malkus on eating. Achila de Kulei Alma lo pligi de lo laki. You're for sure not going to get Malkus for eating it, because it was already also for Chelev. Ki pligi abishul. You're only arguing over here on whether there is Malkus for cooking it. So mandi yom loke. The one who says you're loke says, why wouldn't you be loke? Chad Isru. There's no Isr Chalal Isr. There's no Isr of Bishul on Chelev, and therefore this is a brand new Isser of Bishol, and certainly would be Chal on this case. Mandi Omer Eino Loka says, well, you're not taking into consideration one thing. Why does the Torah never talk about the Isser of eating Basar B'Chalav, and only talking about the Isser of cooking Basar B'Chalav, in which cooking is clearly meant to take place of the word eating in at least one of these occurrences? So why would that be? So if we talk about eating as if it's the act of cooking, it's got to be coming to teach me that kiven de al achila lo laki, that the achila and the bishul only apply in similar circumstances. And if you're not going to be chayef for the achila, for whatever reason, in this case because ein iser chalal iser, so then a bishul nami lo laki, you won't be chayef in the bishul either. So this may be a totally different machlokas about whether to be derish the implications of bishul for achila, or ikari amri, there's yet another approach. You could say, maybe everybody agrees that a bishul kulei amelot pligi, that you are like him. Definitely you'd get malchus for bishul. You're arguing only about achila, in which case mandi omer eino loke is ein iser chalal iser. Mandi omer you are loke says, well, but over here it's special because the Torah was after achmana achila b'loshen bishul to teach me that in this case, since there is an iser in bishul, that iser of bishul is chal on the achila too, even though normally we would say ein iser chalal iser. That's another option. And the last option is, who says they're arguing? Maybe one is talking about bishul, one want to talk about achila, and there never was an argument. You're the one who jumped to the conclusion there's an argument. So maybe mar amar chada, umar amar chada velo plugi. One says you're potter, meaning you're potter on achila because ain't a chala liser, so ain't a loike. The one that says you are loike, which is the simple meaning. I mean, you're the one who had to come up with all these fancy relations and similarity of bishul achila. Maybe none of that is true. Maybe it's all very simple, and there's no machlokas here where ain't iser chala liser applies. That is to say, bachila, everybody agrees ain't a loike, and where ain't iser chala liser doesn't apply. That is to say, by bishul, everybody agrees that you are loike. Meitve. Dak tahor shemalacholim dak tamei mutar. I assume that that includes shayur shnehem meluchim, which means that Rava is wrong in saying that seer would be absorbed at a time of pleat. Lo, hey, that's talking about whether tahor was maliach and the tamei was tafel, and therefore, what's it going to absorb? Well, midiktani seifa. It says beferish in the sefer hayat tahor maliach v'tamei tafel mutar. Obviously, the reisha can't be the same case, right? So mechal the reisha b'shnei meluchim askinat. No, why? Maybe perusha kamefarish tahor shemalchoyim dak tamei mutar. Now add that word ketzad hayat tahor maliach v'tamei tafel. But by the way, akinami mistavra, because if you're going to try to tell me that the reisha is talking about shnei meluchim. So then, for heaven's sakes, if Hashta Shnei Meluchim, it's Mutter, Koshikate, if the Torah is Malik and the Tomei is tough on me, boy, I need to tell you such a case. It's like this, you might make the mistake of explaining the Lotema, Reisha, Torah, Malik, and Tomei, Tafel, but Enoch Inami, if Shnei Meluchim would be also like Rava, therefore comes along the Sefer to teach me, no, I'm going to talk about this case uniquely. Tor maliach v'tamei tafel. That's not what I was talking about until now. Miklal d'reish shnei meluchim. Nonetheless, it's shari, and then it would be not like Rava. So we can't prove either way here. Okay. Toshma mi sefer de sefer. Avali maya tamei maliach v'tar tafel aser. Tamei maliach v'tar tafel. Only that case is osur. Mashma shnei meluchim. Since the tahor would be in a state of plita, it would not be absorbing tzir. But Rava said that things absorb tzir because it's easy to absorb, even when they're being polite. That could just be, I did a ton of reisha tor maliach tamei tafel. It's a ton of seifa also tamei maliach v'tor tafel. Omar Shmuel ein abasar yotzei mide damo elim kein molcho yafa yafa. That molcho yafa yafa also, by the way, means time, not just that it's on all sides. So we leave it there, a minimum of kedei alichas mil. The lowest, smallest sheet of Alichas Mil, as you know, is 18 minutes. And the long sheet for Alichas Mil is 24 minutes. That's how you get the 72-minute sheet and everything, right? Three times 24 is Kedayiluch Shalosh Milin. The norm is to leave it for about an hour. If it's Erev Shabbos and there's no time and you need the meat and you won't have time to cook it, you could be Sebech on the 24 minutes because that's the Yikr Din is Kedayiluch Alichas Mil. Medicha yofa yofa. It baravud amar molech umediach. Bamatanita tana mediach umolech umediach. Velo pligi. Ha de chalalei betavcha. Ha de lo chalalei betavcha. Revdimi minarda malach lebe milcha galal nita umenapitzle. Omre besharsha ein machzikin dam bivnei meayim. Tirgabar karkasha umeaya vahadu de kanta. And there was a machlokas about the keres itself and the beta kosot. Amar Shmuel, by the way, this does not apply to the chalev that is on those areas. Even the kosher, even things that are kosher, require real malicha. Amar Shmuel, ein menichim basar malicha lagabi kli menukav, rifsheshet malach legarma garma. What? Trey my time alone, mishum deparish mihayu bala hai? You could say the same thing about a single piece. Adami parish mihayu gisa bala hai gisa. So that's going too far. Elaloshna. Omer Shmuel, Mishum Rebichia, Ashover Mafraktasha Beima, Kodem Shetzeitzen, Avshareze, Machbita Tabasar, Vigozela Tabriot, Umavlia Dam Beivor, Miboile. Are you saying, Ekom, Machbita Tabasar, Vigozela Tabriot, Mishum, the Mavlia Dam Beivorim? And then you're obviously not adding anything by saying Mavlia, that's the whole point. In which case, Holy Day, where you can't cheat yourself, Shaper Dummy, Odimala Dide Nami also because of Dam. Take it. Forget about it. Ain't over belotase. You mean that if you would eat it, you'd be over belotase? Shmamina basarof b'chol of the oraita? No. It means there's nothing to worry about in that case. Hamalat ofi magivinala shulchan. Ain't over belotase. Well, basar beima Torah, bechalav beima Torah, asur levashel v'asur b'ana'a. Basur beima Torah, bechalav beima tmeya, or basar beima tmeya, bechalav beima Torah, mutar levashel u'mutar b'ana'a. Rabbi Akiva omer, chaya v'of einam min ha-Torah. Shnema lo tevashel gedi b'chalei v'imo, shalosh pami, prat l'chaya u'la'of u'beima tmeya. Rabbi Yosef Aglili omer, Neymar, lo tochlu kol nevela. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says, lo tevashel gedi b'chalei v'imo. What in the world is the connection between them? It's got to be teaching a chasim shum nevela asa levashe b'chalav. Ah, so then you'll tell me, so you mean, Rabbi Yosef, that you hold that oaf, which is also Mishum Nevela, should be also Levashe B'chalav, and I'll tell you no. Because there's another point here. B'chalei v'imo, yatsa oaf, she'en lo chalav eim. Minani mili. Omra Belazer, the gedi means anything. Because Omra Kavashach Yudah gedi ha'izim. Why does it have to specify gedi izim? So it's karen gedi izim, but normally a gedi could mean anything. It just means a kid. Shema gedi stam, it could include even the kid, so to speak, of a para and a rachel b'mashma. So why not use this as the makar leilufinei? Ah, that's because k'tiv krachrina vet orot gedaye ha'izim that Rivka put on Yaakov's hands. Kan gedaye ha'izim, but komakom shema gedi stam afi lo para v'rachel b'mashma. Why can't we learn out from this pasuk? Because it's shnei ketuvim amoyim keachad. V'chol shnei ketuvim amoyim keachad im elamdim. But that's only Lamandi Yomer and Malamdim. What about Lamandi Yomer and Malamdim, Michael and Mimar? Each one of these psukim has a miyat attached to it. K'tiv izim ha-izim. To tell me it's dafka in this case. Omer Shmuel, Gedi, that's marba chelev. Gedi is marba nevela, meta. Gedi is marba shlil. Gedi is motzi dam. Gedi is motzi shilya. Gedi is motzi tmeah. Bechalei v'imo means imo, lo bechalav zachar. Bechalei v'imo, v'lo bechalav shchutar. Bechalei v'imo, v'lo bechalav tmeyah. Atlata gedik, tivei v'anan shita darshinan. Well, actually, kasav shmuel in general, isr chalal isr. So therefore, isr, the chelev, and the isr meita, anyway, that's all part of the initial pasuk. It's bichat kron afkin. Dam is not a gedik, so that's just the simple meaning of the gufa. Shilya, that I don't need a pasuk for. That's Pir Shabayama. So now we're left with two. Okay? Chad l'rabotet ha-shliyo, v'chad l'mutibay mitmeya. So v'shmul isr chalal isr, v'amashmul mishum Rabbi Elazar, minay l'koin tome shachot shum mitmeya she'enu b'mita, she'emar umetu bo ki chalu, prat l'zo she'mechulalet v'omedet. Well, you know, it could be that Ibo itam b'yama isr chalal isr, but this is a unique case, miyat rachmon umetu bo. And it could be Vatema Baama Kasav Shmuel ain't is a chalal iser, but maybe here the Torah is marba gedi, and it didn't even need to say gedi in the initial pasuk. And he by Tema, maybe he was just quoting Rabbi Elazar, but he himself disagrees. So did the other rabbi. Boy, minei Ravach, the boy Barami Mirav, I'm a vashel b'chalev gedi shaloi nika mau. Omer like, well, if Shmuel needed lemeima b'chalev imo v'lo b'chalav zachar, then obviously it's only because his zachar lo ati b'chalal aim ever. Aval haikim and the balach lalem asur. Itmar, I'm a vashel chelev bichalav. Rabbi Ami v'rabasi chadomer loke, v'chadomer en loke. So then the simple way of reading this would be that it's a general machlokas about whether it's a chalalisa, right? So leba b'kamifli. Mandi yom loke kasav is a chalalisa. Mandi yom en loke kasav rein is a chalalisa. No, who said we're talking bichlal about eating? Maybe everybody holds eight is a chalalisa. Therefore, achila kolem elo pligin elo loke. The only problem would be on the bishul. The man yomer loike, okay, that's the pashtas. This is one iser. Why wouldn't you be loike on the bishul? But man yomer eno loike would say, lachi afker achmana lachila b'lashon bishul, to teach me that in any case where you won't get malchus for the achila, then you won't get malchus for the bishul also. Or, you could say another pshat. Maybe everybody agrees on bishul. For sure you'll get malchus. The machlokus is on achila, but not because there's part of the general machlokas of Isser Chalal Isser. Actually, we're arguing about Achila because even though normally you would be Ein Isser Chalal Isser, which would explain Mandi Omer Eino Lok Ein Isser Chalal Isser, but Mandi Omer Lok, even though normally Ein Isser Chalal Isser is a special case, Lok Yafka Rachman Al Achila, but Loshem Bishul, to teach me that once the Isser Bishul is Chalal, you get Malkus for it, then Achila Nami Loki. Or, maybe they're not even arguing. One's talking about achila, in which case the problem is chalal isser. The other one is talking about the bishul, and therefore he says, you do get malchus.